Hey, what's up, True North? So excited to be with you today. You know, I don't know how you're doing living the quarantine life, but my hair's getting long. My gut's getting a little bit bigger. The quarantine life, baby, it's starting to take effect, man, after 6 weeks. But I'll tell you something. I am so pumped to be here with you today because we get to dig into God's Word together this morning. And I believe every time you open up God's Word that there's an opportunity for life change. And so I am thrilled that you're here listening. I don't know where you're tuning in from, whether it's in the Pittsburgh area or somewhere else around the country, but we are thrilled to have you with us today. And I am so excited because we're going to be digging into a topic this morning that I believe could maybe have some life-changing implications on you, but I absolutely believe that it could have life-changing implications on the people around you. You know, I love stories, and I don't think I'm the only one. I think no matter who you are, if you are alive living on this planet, you connect with stories. It's the reason that Amazon and Netflix and Hollywood make billions of dollars every single year, because people love stories. And the reason that we love stories is that stories are powerful, aren't they? Stories are powerful because they connect with us on an emotional level, right? Like when you are engaged in a story and there's conflict and there's intrigue and there's all this incredible stuff happening that connects you to the characters, right? There's something powerful that happens inside us as we're watching that. And if you've ever studied communication, you know that the most powerful and effective communication tool that we have at our disposal is to tell stories. Stories are so much more impactful than just simply giving information. It's the reason that no matter how many times I preach a sermon, no matter how many messages I give, what people remember are the stories that are told within the message. I could say the most brilliant, theological, biblical thing on the planet, but what people are going to remember is the story I told about how much I love chocolate cake, right? Stories are very, very powerful. About 2,000 years ago, this guy named Jesus came onto the scene. And Jesus had all of these disciples and followers who kind of followed him around as he lived his life. But when Jesus died, something happened that changed the course of history. He rose from the dead. And when he rose from the dead, people took notice of that. His followers took notice of that. They began to follow him. And as they began to follow him, here's what they did. They started to do something. They started to tell the story of Jesus. And not just the story of Jesus, they started to tell the story of how Jesus changed their story. You see, what happened is that these people had an encounter, this amazing encounter with Jesus. This extraordinary thing happened in their life, and their lives began to change. They began to experience all that Jesus has to offer us. And as they did that, they could not help themselves from sharing that story with as many people as they possibly could. And this is the reason that we're still here today in 2020 talking about Jesus. Because 2,000 years ago, a small group of people began to share the story of how Jesus changed their life. Story is powerful. And so today, I want to talk for just a few minutes about how your story could change the story of someone else. I want to ask you this question as we begin today. What if the change in your story could change someone's story? What if what has happened in your life, what if what Jesus has done in your life could impact someone for all of eternity? That's what I want to dig into for just a moment here today. Now, we're going to look at a guy by the name of Paul. And Paul wrote much of the New Testament. If you don't know who Paul is, he was basically the very first missionary in the history of the world. And Paul had this amazing encounter with Jesus. And from the day he had that encounter, from the day his life was changed, he began to share his story. In fact, in the book of Acts, where we're going to be reading today, he shares his story six different times to six different groups. Many of the times when he shares his story, he's actually on trial, and that's what we're going to look at today. He finds himself in a Roman prison on trial for proclaiming the name of Jesus. Can you imagine? Just talk about how insane that would be if we lived in a world where if just speaking the name of Jesus, you would find yourself in a prison cell. That's where Paul found himself. We're going to be actually in Acts chapter 26. But just to give you a little bit of background about what's about to happen here to kind of set up this moment, Paul's in a Roman prison and he is asked to see the emperor because he wants to make his case for why he should not be in prison. But before they take him to the emperor, they take him to this guy named King Agrippa, who's actually the king in Jerusalem, essentially, at that time. King Agrippa was actually the grandson of Herod the Great. Herod the Great was actually the guy who was king when Jesus was born. He's the guy that the three wise men came and sought him to find out where Jesus was living at that time. He's the king who slaughtered all of the baby boys under the age of two during Jesus' childhood in an attempt to kill Jesus. So this is a bad news family. These guys were no good. And this King Agrippa, he was no better than his grandfather. He was actually, at this particular time, having an incestuous relationship with his own sister. And so when Paul comes to see King Agrippa, he's not really interested in hearing about what Paul has done, whether he's innocent or guilty. He wants to be entertained. He wants to have somebody stand before him so he can kind of smirk at them and laugh at them. But Paul sees this as an opportunity, like he always did, to share the change in his life that Jesus has made. So we're going to pick up here in Acts chapter 26 and verse 4. If you have a Bible, I encourage you, grab that today. Follow along with us. If you don't have one, the words will be here on the screen. But I want to encourage you, if you don't have a Bible, please direct message us. We would love to get a Bible in your hand. We would love to come alongside of you, help you learn how to read that, begin to walk alongside of you as you build a relationship with God. That's what we're here for. But we're going to be picking this up here in verse 4. So Paul, he's standing before King Agrippa, right? He's in chains, probably looking up at this guy on his throne. He's, you know, got robes on. He's very kingly, right? And Paul is down here on the floor in chains, tattered and torn, looking all disheveled. And King Agrippa looks at him and says, "Okay, Paul, go ahead and make your defense." And this is what Paul said. He said, "The Jewish people all know the way I have lived ever since I was a child, from the beginning of my life in my own country and also in Jerusalem. They have known me for a long time. And they can testify, if they are willing, that I conformed to the strictest sect of our religion, living as a Pharisee." And so first thing Paul does here in his defense is he says this: "This is who I was. This is who I was. I was a Pharisee. I went to the greatest religious school there was. I had the greatest religious professors, and I was part of the most religious group of people that ever was. I followed all the laws to the letter of the law. I had it going on, or at least so I thought. This is who I was." This is how he makes his case. But then he goes on. He says, "I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the Lord's people in prison. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them." He said, "Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished. And I tried to force them to blaspheme. I was so obsessed with persecuting them that I even hunted them down in foreign cities." And so first, Paul says, "This is who I was." But then he says, this is how I lived. "Yes, I was a Pharisee. And as a Pharisee, I did everything that I could to slander the name of Jesus. and to try to convince people that Jesus was not who he says he was. That you should stop following Jesus. And when they didn't, it says that he hunted them down. He put them on trial and he had them murdered. This is who Paul was. And he wants them to understand this. He wants them to know this. Why? Because of what happens next. This is who I was. This is how I once lived. But then he goes on. In verse 12, he says, on one of these journeys, however, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. So he was traveling on this road to Damascus on the authority of this Jewish council to find more Christians to persecute. It says, about noon, King Agrippa, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And so in this moment, we find Paul having his first encounter with Jesus. First, he tells them who he was. Second, he tells them what he did. And third, he says, but I had this encounter, this incredible, miraculous encounter with Jesus. And from that point forward, my life was never the same. I was forever changed. But he goes on. He says, then I asked, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, the Lord replied. Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. And so finally, after he tells them who he was, after he explains to them what he's done, after he explains to them this encounter that he had with Jesus that changed the trajectory of his life, finally, this is what he says. This is who I am now. This is who I am now. I have been rescued by Jesus. I have been put on a different path. I now understand that Jesus is who he says he is. And from that point forward and all the way up until now, Jesus has been working on me. He has been changing me. And I have been championing the cause of Jesus Christ in the world. And so at this point, we're going to skip down here now from verse 18 down to verse 28. And I encourage you to read this entire chapter. Read this whole story because it's fascinating. But for the sake of time, I want to jump down to what King Agrippa says to Paul after he makes this defense. It says, then Agrippa said to Paul, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to become a Christian? And Paul replied, and I love this, short time or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains. In other words, what Paul is saying is that my deepest desire is for you to know Christ the way that I know Christ, for you to have your life changed the way that my life has been changed. And even though I knew before I came and stood here, as I sat in my prison cell and was walked out to this point, that there was probably a good chance you were going to laugh at me, that you weren't going to pay any attention to what I had to say, that you probably weren't going to believe, that's not the point. My responsibility as a Jesus follower is to proclaim the story of how Jesus changed my life in the hope that maybe one day it will change yours. It is not my responsibility. It is not up to me to change you. That is the Lord's work. It is my responsibility to simply tell my story. And so here's the message today. If you are a Jesus follower, you have a story to tell. You have a story, just like Paul did, of how Jesus changed your life, of how Jesus changed your story. And no, Your story might not be as miraculous and crazy as Paul's, but it matters just the same. Your story matters. Like Paul, you were traveling down a path. You were moving in a certain direction. Your story had written itself up to a certain point. And then one day Jesus entered into that story and he changed your direction. He changed your life forever. And my question to you today is this. Are you telling your story? Are you telling the story of how Jesus changed your life? And if you're not, why not? What's holding you back? What's keeping you from doing that? You see, I think for most of us, it comes down to one thing. There is one major reason why we hesitate sharing the story of how Jesus has changed us. It's fear, right? It's fear. Number one, it's fear of not knowing what to say. What if I get in a situation and I begin to share my story and the words don't come out right? What if I say the wrong thing? What if what I say actually turns them off from following Jesus? Well, there's an account in Luke chapter 12 and verse 11 that I want to read to you. It's actually the very words of Jesus while Jesus was still here on earth with his disciples. And what he's sharing with them in this moment is that one day you are going to share your story. You're going to share my story. They're going to be intimately entwined. And as you share that, I want you to know something. And this is what he says. He says, "Do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say." They were already afraid, just like we are a lot of the times. He says, "Do not worry about what you will or how you will defend yourself or what you will say." And this is the part you need to hear. "For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say." We have this advocate at our disposal. The Bible says, Scripture says that the Holy Spirit, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he enters into our life. He enters into our heart. He begins to live and walk with us. He begins to guide us. And all we have to do is ask him and he will lead us. He will show us exactly what to say and exactly what to do in every single situation. And so what we need to be doing is we need to be praying for the Spirit to give us the right words whenever we have an opportunity. And we need to be praying for the Spirit to open our eyes to see the opportunities. And he promises that he will give us the right words. I think we have a fear of not knowing what to say, but I also think that a lot of us were insecure and we have a fear of what people might think. What if they reject me? What if they get angry at me? What if they don't want to hear anything that I have to say? I love how Peter, Jesus' most passionate follower, puts this. You see, Peter knew more than probably just about anybody what it meant to deny Jesus, what it meant to have fear and to run. Remember when Peter fled when Jesus was captured, right, and put on trial, and he watched from afar and he denied Jesus three times? Peter knew all about the fear of sharing his story because in that moment he refused to do it. But later, Peter would go on to spread the gospel maybe as much as anybody in the history of the world. And he wrote these words in his book, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. And it is such an encouragement to me when I think about sharing my story of how Jesus changed my life. This is what he says. "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. So first and foremost, Jesus is my Lord. And because of that, I'm going to do what he's called me to do, do what he's commanded me to do. And he has commanded us to share our story. It says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." Always be ready, in other words. Always be looking for opportunities to share what? To share the hope that you have. You see, that's what us telling our story is all about. It's about sharing the hope of Jesus Christ with other people. But then he goes on, don't just share that hope. He says, do it with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience. Why? So that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. See, when you are gentle and respectful with people, what it does is it lowers their defenses. Even if somebody doesn't agree with you, they might be totally against everything that you have to say about Jesus Christ. But if you do it with humility, if you do it with gentleness, if you do it with respect and honor that person, I promise you this, it will lower their defenses. And even though in that moment they may not believe, they may not buy into the story that you are telling them, you have created an opportunity maybe later to share more of your story. See, what's so fascinating to me about what happened with Paul and King Agrippa is that King Agrippa didn't change in that moment. He didn't. That would have been a great fairy tale ending to the story, wouldn't it? But the sad truth is that stories don't always end happy, do they? Sometimes the story ends in a way that's devastating. And this is what can be so difficult and so challenging, I think, for us, for those of us that are Jesus followers who have friends and family who maybe do not know Christ. We share that story and nothing happens. But I want to encourage you today, continue to share your story. You never know. It might take 2 or 3 or 10 times. But I do believe that we must keep sharing it. Because if we stop sharing our story, then this whole thing begins to slowly die. And so I want to give you some good news today. And I want to give you some really practical advice. And it comes straight from this account that we read about Paul. First and foremost, this is how you share your story. If you've ever been afraid to do it, if you ever thought, I don't know how to do this, this is the blueprint. Paul gives us the blueprint here. First of all, he says, tell them, this is who I was. This is the person I was. This is the type of person I was. I did not have it all together, and I still don't have it all together. I made a lot of bad choices. Tell them how you lived, right? This is who I was. This is how I lived. Be transparent with people. Walk in humility, but also be transparent, sharing with people the specific things of like, this is how I messed up. These are the challenges that I faced before I knew Christ. But then third, we need to share with them, I had an encounter with Jesus. This is who I was. This is how I lived. But I had this amazing encounter with Jesus, this extraordinary moment where he entered into my story and he began to change me. He began to change my story. And then finally, you share with them who you are now. This is how God has changed me. I was like this, but now I have a peace and I have a joy and I have a contentment. Now I have somebody to go to when I'm struggling in life. And most of all, I have the assurance of salvation and eternity in heaven with my heavenly Father because of what Jesus did for me on the cross. And so I live this life without fear. I live this life without regret now because I know that Jesus is my Father, my heavenly Father, and he is walking with me through everything that I go through. And so as we close, I want to talk to two groups. First of all, I want to talk to those of you who are Jesus followers, who have put your faith and your trust into Christ as your Savior. And I want to ask you this question again. What if your story, what if the change in your story could change someone's story? See, there is no part of your story that God cannot use to change and impact someone else's story. There isn't. And you may look at your story and you may think, nothing major has happened in my life. I don't have this crazy story. You know, I grew up in the church my whole life. And from the time I was 5 years old, I went to Sunday school. And I've just always kind of believed in Jesus. And I never went off the rails or did anything crazy. But you know what? That's an amazing story in and of itself. That God protected you from all of that. That you have made good decisions because of the help of Christ. There is no story that doesn't matter. They all matter. And so my challenge to you today is this. Be bold. Don't have fear in sharing it. Be bold with it. You know, the reality is this. When something amazing happens in your life, when you have an amazing experience, there should be something inside of us that just can't contain talking about it. When I go to a great restaurant, when I see a great movie, when I have a great experience in my life, I tell everybody about it. There is no experience in your life that is greater than what Jesus Christ has done in you if you are his follower and if you have put your trust in him. And so today I want to challenge you. Proclaim it boldly. Don't walk in fear. Don't be afraid of what to say. Don't be afraid of what other people might think. Proclaim it with boldness. And I believe here's what's going to happen. As you begin to do that, you are going to see not only your faith increase, not only your passion for Jesus increase, you are going to see people begin to be influenced by your story. And you are going to see other people's story begin to be changed by your story. And so let me ask you this question, and this is a tough question. And I think sometimes we've just got to look in the mirror and we've got to ask ourselves some tough questions. When was the last time you shared your story, your Jesus story, with someone else? Have you ever shared your story, the story of how Jesus changed you, with someone else? If you haven't, make today the day that you begin to do that. I want you to think of just one person this week. And I know we're all in quarantine, and it's hard right now because we can't really be together, but I want you to think of one person to share your story with, who maybe is going through some struggle in their life right now, that you can encourage them, that you can love them, and that you can point them to Jesus who can change their life. Just one person. Would you do that with me this week? But I want to talk to a second group. And that's for those of you who might be on the fence about Jesus. And maybe you've been hearing about Christ for your entire life. Maybe you've got family and friends who've shared their story with you. What if today was the day that you finally allowed Jesus to change your story? Because I know this. Jesus wants to change your story. He does. He wants to give you a new hope and a new future. He wants to resurrect your life. He wants to give you eternal life, but he doesn't want to just give you this new life in heaven. He wants to give you a better life here and now. He wants to make your marriage better. He wants to make you a better parent. He wants to make you a better coworker. He wants to help you to stop wandering through this life and to have purpose. He wants to move you from heartache to joy and from death to life. This is what Jesus wants to do in your life. And so I don't know where you're at specifically, what your story has been like up until this point, but I know this, God knows. He knows exactly what your story has been like. And if you're listening to this today, he's speaking directly to you right now. And he's offering to change your story. And all it takes is for you to surrender to him, to give your life to him, to trust in him as your savior. And from this point forward, your story will look very different. And it won't be perfect, and you will still face challenges, but he will begin to work on you. He will begin to make your life better. And so if that's you, I want to encourage you to direct message us today. We would love to have a conversation with you and chat with you about what it looks like to have a relationship with Jesus. That's why we do everything that we do here. We are all about seeing people's stories changed. You know, this week, we're going to be doing something a little bit different. And I want to challenge you to take part in this in some way. We're actually going to be showing every day this week some life change stories, some Jesus stories, people who have had their life impacted by Jesus. And it takes a lot of faith. Takes a lot of courage to step out and do that, but I want to encourage you to watch those this week. And if you're a Jesus follower, I want you to watch them and be encouraged. I want you to watch them and see that no matter who you are, no matter what your story is, you can tell it, and it will have an impact. And if you don't know Christ, I want to encourage you to watch those stories and see just how many people have had their lives impacted and changed by Jesus. My hope and my desire, my deepest desire and my prayer is that we would be a church, we would be a people, a community of Jesus followers who understand the power of story and that our story matters and that we would tell it, we would proclaim it from the rooftops, from the mountaintops, and that because we continue to proclaim the story of how Jesus has changed us, that more lives would be changed. That's my hope and my prayer for us. Love you guys. Let's pray, and we'll close out this moment, and we'll go into another week. Father, we love you. We thank you and praise you for how you entered into our life and changed our story. God, I thank you for the blueprint that Paul has given us here. The way that he so eloquently shows us really how simple it is to share what Jesus has done in our life, to share how he's changed us, and to show people that their lives can be changed too. So God, I pray for a powerful move of your Holy Spirit in this church, in this community, in the lives of everyone who's watching. God, I pray for those who are already following Jesus, that they might live in boldness from this point forward, that they would see their story as a story that matters. And God, I pray for those who may be on the fence today, that right now that your Holy Spirit would speak to them in a powerful way. They would make a decision today to begin to follow you and to go on the adventure of a lifetime that so many of us are already on. So we love you. We pray for this world right now, for all that is going on with this disease that is ravaging our world, how it's messing up our economy and so many other things, God. But we also praise you for the good things that you're doing in the midst of this whole thing. God, we pray for protection over the people who may be sick today. God, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would end this thing as soon as possible. God, but even if you don't, we give you glory because you are good. You have promised us good things in the future. And for that, we love you. We honor you. We make you our Lord. We trust you. And we will do everything we can to serve you in this life. It's in Jesus' perfect name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Thank you guys so much. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.